So Joni did a thing this past weekend that was real good. If you weren't here Sunday, you need to watch the video. Primarily, the finale was the main part of the message, showing you how to connect to the Word of God, showing you how to touch the Word, based off of Mark 5 with the woman at the issue of blood. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. Well, she touched his clothes, but really she was touching the Word, because Jesus is the Word. And so you don't get to run down the streets chasing people's clothes. You can touch the Word. And the way you touch the Word is what she showed at the end, with having us confess together. And we've had, what, three or four people already healed, testify that they got healed by the real power of God during that moment. What happened? How did that happen? It happened because we touched the truth. The truth was preached, but then we did something to go touch it and connect with it and catch it and grasp it and pull the power of God out of it. The woman with the issue of blood pulled the power of God out of Jesus. And so when you go to the Word of God this way, connecting with it, letting your heart open up to it, fully grasping it, you'll pull the power of God out of the Word. And so that is vital for us all. Now, Sunday's message was primarily about physical healing or maybe mental things. And it could be other things, as she mentioned. And it is other. It's everything. It's everything. For this life, it's everything. And so I just wanted you to see this Revelation chapter 19 is what I said. Revelation 19, this is an image that John had of Jesus in the end. On the final day when Jesus is on the horse and he's coming back with the saints to rule the world. Glory. Christians wanting to rule America. Let me tell you, we're going to rule the whole wide world. But not until he comes back. So Revelation 19 verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. People always want to know if there's animals in heaven. My pet going to be there? Well, there's definitely animals there because there's horses. But is my pet going to be there? Well, that's for another night. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. So that's Jesus' name. It's the Word of God. It's everything to God. Heaven and earth passes away, but his Word never passes away. So the Word of God is everything to you. Now, just for the sake of some in here, it says his vest or his robe was dipped in blood. And so some would think, ooh, blood. Ooh, I don't want to talk about blood. Well, listen. If you're a new Christian or if you're from kids' church and haven't heard this before, listen. The way the world thinks of blood and uses blood in movies and such and images is not really right. But the blood of Jesus is to be talked about. Yeah. The blood of Jesus is everything to us, and even little children can understand the blood of Jesus, need to understand the blood of Jesus. It's not something to shy away from. There are denominations of Christianity. There are churches that have stopped talking about the blood because it's a little like, oh, I don't know what this blood thing is. Oh, no. The worldly stuff, yes, you don't want to mess with that. You know, evil things and all that, but the blood of Jesus is holy. It's supreme. So much so that in this image, the robe is covered in it. God doesn't need you to shed your blood, but he did need Jesus to shed his blood. And that's everything. So Jesus, the Word of God, is wrapped in the blood. There's power in the blood. If you ever have a need, if you ever have an emergency, call out to the Word of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood, whatever comes to your heart, you call on it because there's power in it. All right, so He is the Word of God. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Now, in church service or in a church, everybody's in a different spot, in a different level spiritually, has different needs. Everybody is seeking the Lord in different ways. Everybody in their own mind has something most important this week, this year. Spiritually, everybody has a different soul. But in any meeting, in every meeting, God can speak exactly and directly to you. And that's part of the nature of the living Word of God. It can get in there and live with everybody. No matter where you're at and what you need and what you think, the living Word of God can go in there and live with every single person in here individually. And so, you know, and that's in our church, that's in the church at large, everywhere, everybody. The Word of God is there for you to take care of everything. You know, some people just need to get saved. Some people need to get delivered and healed. Some people have never really known the Lord. Some people need to get in there, and some people just need to feel forgiven. Some people need to feel cleansed from unrighteousness. You might be in that place where you just simply need to open up and say, Lord, I receive forgiveness from you. And so you can't walk around with guilt. Some people need to realize that. So we teach all the gamut of everything so that everybody gets their need met from the Word of God. You need revelation for every arena of life. Maybe not all at once if you're just on your journey, but you need revelation of everything. There's so many wonderful things. Some people need family help. You know, their kids are wayward, their husband lost his job, not interested in God. Please help. Well, there's help for you. Tonight is all about helping you no matter where you're at. The Word of God has everything for you. Jesus has everything for you. If He was walking down the road, He has everything for you, right? If He was sitting next to you in the seat, He has everything for you. Just look over at Him and say, hey, give me some of that. Well, He's not here physically, but He is here spiritually, and He's here through the Word of God. And so if we can convince you of that, or we can say if the Holy Spirit can convince you of that, you're unbeatable. If the Holy Spirit can convince you that inside these pages is the answer for every one of your problems, is the power for every one of your problems, if He can convince you of that, you will have victory in life today. I mean, it will start today. The Bible says that Thy Word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. But let's not let it just stop there. His world can be settled in the earth if you'll believe it. If you'll latch hold of the Word, it'll be settled in you. But it does take a little effort. Like we did Sunday at the end of service, we settled some things. How'd we settle it? By saying it like we meant it. By saying it a little bit louder than normal. By gritting our teeth and meaning it when we said it. Even though we did it all together, even though it was started from somebody else, you doing it in faith causes something to happen. You may need to do that in your own house for lots of things, but it'll work for you.
Amen.
Some people need to, their part of the journey with God is to get filled with the Spirit. Other people's journey right now is to start a habit of praying in the Spirit. Some people have heard about speaking in tongues or praying in tongues, and it's been kind of left on the shelf. Like, well, I'm so busy. I got things to do. I'll go learn about that later. And that's why we hammer it, because your life ain't going to change a whole lot till you start praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
Or we could say it this way. Your life won't change a whole lot without great, great struggle unless you start praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's what takes you into another realm. So you can overcome. So that all of your New Year's resolutions aren't just in the flesh.
Come on.
Well, I'm gonna. And, you know, you said that last year. Isn't that right? And a lot of it has to do with just, you know, your I'm gonna can't just be some arbitrary goal. Well, this year I'm gonna do this X times. This year I'm gonna have this much money. This year I'm gonna do. You're setting these arbitrary goals, and really you should have set daily principle goals of lifestyle change. But anyway, January 1st ain't any different than December 31st, and you know that. We just like to put everything off till January 1st. That's going to be the day that I change my whole life. That's going to be the day that I finally get close to God. That's going to be the day. It's going to be next year, the first of the year, man, that's the perfect time for me to change. And no, it's not the perfect time. You got so many things going on. The perfect time is to, as soon as you recognize a deal, you got to start today. Amen. Well, I'll meet the Lord next year. I'll start going to church. We'll take you if you want to come to church January 1st. Or 3rd, or whenever the day is. We'll take you the first of the year if you want to start your church habit. I didn't start church in the first month, did you? I started church when I recognized I needed it. It was actually September. I said, I'm going to start being a church person the rest of my life. Okay, so Hebrews 6. Are you over there somewhere?
Yep. Yep.
Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. So there's elementary principles of Christ, and then there's perfection. So obviously there's growth stages, and we know that from the Word of God that we start off as a child, a babe in Christ, we get the milk of the Word, but then we move on. We grow up and get the meat. But here he's just kind of listing out some things. Let's leave the elementary principles of Christ. Let's go on to perfection. Perfection would be like the love of God, being made perfect in love. Not laying again, let's go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. Okay, here's the foundation of repentance from dead works. Well, stop there. We'll read each one of these real quick. Repentance from dead, some of you need some faith in God's word and connect to God's word so that you can repent from dead things you're doing or thinking. Your dead work could be a sin. Your dead work could also be a religious ideal that's wrong. Your dead work could be this merit system that you've built in your life about pleasing God. Like, the more good I do, the more points I get. The more points I get, the easier prayer is. Or the higher the chance I'll get my prayer answered. Well, that's the merit system. We're not under the merit system. And you're going to have to repent from that dead work.
Amen.
You thinking that church attendance gains you points with God is a dead work. We want you to repent from it. We don't want you to not come to church. We want you to realize the reason to come to church is not for a point. But it never fails. Somebody hears that and says, oh, well, then we don't have to go to church every Sunday. We've even heard one of our church members tell somebody else, oh, you don't have to come to church every Sunday. We're not under the merit system. No, that's not what we said. There's a whole other message to go with why come to church every Sunday. But in all honesty, I have to say it. I have to say this. You understand? I have to tell you that coming to church doesn't get you a point. I have to tell you that praying to God doesn't get you a point. There's no points. Church helps your faith grow. Praying helps your faith connect. Those are two essential and vital and absolutes in our Christian walk, but they don't get you points. So repent from the point system. Let's take it the negative side. Just because you blew it yesterday doesn't make you lose a point.
Right. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
So some people need to believe that from God's word and say, I'm connecting to that. And I'm going to lean on that, rely on that every day of my life. So repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You need to learn how to trust God. Learn how to cast your care to the Lord. Sometimes people think they need all this extra prayer when really what they need to do is cast their care to the Lord. Some people are in the place of, you know, I just, oh my gosh, somebody please pray for me. Pray. I've been praying. You need to learn what faith is. Faith includes prayer, but it's not just prayer. You don't need more prayer. You need to start believing what you're praying. You need to find a reason to believe what you believe. You need to find a scripture. You need to find the word and believe the word and touch the word and get the word in your heart and say yes to it and say, you know, that's the only way. And once you get the word, once you connect with the word, touch the word, you won't be discouraged and disappointed every other day or two. And if you're discouraged and disappointed every other day or two, you haven't touched it yet. Because once you've touched it, but it's been 2 months. But I got the word. So anyway, you're going to have to learn faith toward God, how to trust God, how to cast your cares to the Lord. Then of the doctrine of baptisms, that's just one in the list here. Some people are at the place that need to get dunked in water. You haven't even obeyed the Lord there. And so you need to believe God's word and say, I'm going to get dunked in water because the Lord said to. I don't know why I got to get dunked in water. Who cares why? He said, just do it. I mean, we can teach you why, and it's good to learn why. You need some understanding why, sure. But you don't need to understand it before you do it. I don't think Peter and John and the apostles gave, you know, an hour-long teaching on baptism before they dunked everybody on day one. Everybody, they were pricked in their heart, and they said, what do we do? And he said, just dunk them. We'll explain it later. Of the doctrine of baptisms, and then obviously it's plural, so it's talking about water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, that's another doctrine. Right. Holy Spirit baptism is different than water baptism. Holy Spirit baptism is when the Spirit dunks you. Or more technically, when Jesus dunks you in the Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So Jesus is the dunker into the Spirit. The minister or the believer is the dunker of somebody into the water. Then there's actually a third baptism. The third baptism is the general baptism into Christ. The Bible says that the Spirit baptizes us into Christ. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. So Jesus, when you get saved, baptizes you. Excuse me. So the Spirit, when you get saved, baptizes you into Christ, puts you in the body. Then the preacher or the believer baptizes you into water because you believed it. And then the Spirit, excuse me, then Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit and fire. What's that? Just do it. What's the fire? Just do it, and then we'll explain it later. Okay, so then the next one is laying on of hands, another doctrine, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Just wanted you to see some of these basic things. Everybody's at a different spot of revelation. You need to learn some of these, get some of these in your life. Some of you have heard these before and never really addressed it at all in your life. You need to. Every new Christian ought to understand the end times, resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. What's going to happen in the end? Most new Christians have a desire to know. They're like, what? You mean God has predicted the end? 666? They told me not to take the mark of the beast. That's all I knew growing up. Don't take it. Everybody needs to know what that means and where that fits and what's to come. We have access to it. God gave it to us. We need to learn it. Everybody's in a different spot. Some people are in the place of maturing. Some people are ready to move on and start maturing in the love walk. Stop being so ornery. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, even though I landed over in this general area. Many of you, especially on Wow Wednesdays, you're ready to move on into perfection. You're ready for some real love development. And when's it going to start? When are you going to start the love walk? When are you going to really develop in it? When are you going to learn what it is and then make some strides in it? so that you're not so offended all the time. Really, when you start walking in love, you won't be offended. I couldn't tell you the last time I was offended. Outside the house. Those closest to you have a little different access, but for the most part, look, I couldn't tell you last time I was offended. I remember this from like my first year in the Lord. Psalm 119 has a certain scripture, verse 165. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law," or thy word, "and nothing shall offend them." You start loving the word of God, you'll never be offended. You won't have to lash out at people. If you start loving the word of God, it'll overtake you, and you'll have this nature of God in you. You won't even want to lash out. You won't even want to get it. Your feelings won't even get hurt. 2021, no feelings get hurt. How about that? None. No. Everybody say it out loud. Say, no feelings are getting hurt in 2021. I'm believing the best of everybody. Everybody loves me in 2021. Listen, God walks around thinking, if they just knew me, they'd love me. Oh, if they just knew me, they'd love me with all their heart. If they just knew me, they'd love me. Somebody curses him. Somebody lies about him. Somebody says some weird doctrine about him. He's like, oh, man, if they just, Lord Jesus, if they just knew me, if they just knew us, they'd love us. He walks around heaven unoffended at any of your stupidity. You've blamed him for half the problems in your life, and he don't care. I mean, he does care for your sake, but he doesn't care for his sake. Wow. He's not all depressed, Lord. He wouldn't say that. He knows who he is. He's not offended. He's so close to the Word. He is the Word. Nothing offends God. Some of you are thinking, Yeah. Great peace have they which love thy Word, and nothing shall offend them. If you'll get to be like that, nothing will offend you. If you'll walk around thinking, if they just knew me, they'd love me. Now, some people don't love themselves, so that's why you're mad at everybody else. That's the real truth of it, is the reason you lash out, the reason you don't treat others very well, is because you don't really like yourself. So you're going to have to really get close to the Word so you can start liking yourself. Right. Not that you're ever going to be perfect, but people say, if they only knew my heart. Okay, well, let's go with that. Your heart motivation is right, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Your spirit man is right. Your spirit man is pure gold, right, made in the image of God. On fire for God, purified, sanctified, perfect. And that's what people refer to. They say, well, that wasn't my heart. If you only knew my heart. Yes. Yes, that helps you never be offended because your heart's right. What you say may come out wrong. What you say may actually been wrong. But you don't have to be offended. All right, so turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Some people are in the place of simply discovering their gifts and callings. You know, you get in the kingdom and all of a sudden you realize God's given you something, some ability, some supernatural things, gifts of the Spirit, life gifts, stuff like that, and you're learning and you're trying to develop, so everybody needs to go through that. Some of you are trying to initiate and start your witness. You've heard about people leading people to Jesus, and you've finally been convinced it's for you. Since Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make every one of you fishers of men, you're like, well, I guess I got to start fishing somehow. I don't know if I really want to, but it sounds like I'm supposed to. Amen, 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 amen. I hear them all over the church. Everybody's amening. 2021, you ought to lead someone to Jesus. Listen, if you have never led someone to Jesus, you need to start. If you have before, you need to start again. You got to know Jesus enough to lead someone else. And I'm not talking about length of time knowing Jesus. I'm talking about believing it enough to say it. You can be saved one day, you can be saved half a day and lead someone to Jesus. The woman at the well led the whole city to Jesus on day one. She met Jesus at the well. They argued about who was going to drink whose water. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. She runs and tells the city. And half the city believes in Jesus because of her. Half of the city believes because of her. Then it says the rest of the city came to see Jesus and then they all believed. She was the first evangelist. Turned evangelist one day, told the whole city, got the whole city saved in one day. And all she had to do was say, I found him. That's all you have to say is, I found Jesus. What do you mean? I don't know, but I found him and he changed my heart. You don't have to say much. You just have to kind of make it has to be real enough to you to say something to somebody. Don't get mental with witnessing. Don't get mental with leading people to Jesus. You got to do it. Amen. He said, if you follow me, I'm going to make you fish. Do y'all remember that scripture? Yeah. Matthew 4:19. You don't have to know the reference. You do have to know the words. Jesus found Peter and Andrew fishing. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you choose to follow Jesus, you have a choice to follow Jesus. How many of you are following Jesus? Raise your hand if you're following Jesus. Every single person is following Jesus. If you're following Jesus, you had a choice to follow. You don't have a choice to fish. He said, if you follow me, I will make you fish. Right. It's like the dad in the family saying, we're all going fishing. I don't want to touch the bait. We're going fishing. Daddy, will you bait the hook? Fine, but you're fishing. So you understand that if you're following Jesus, you will help others get saved. It is your duty. Amen. It is your first calling. It is your premier responsibility to help another person get saved.
Amen.
What we're trusting around here is that you believe it enough to hook into the Word and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. That's exactly what happened to me. I read the Bible, heard some sermons, knew from my Baptist upbringing that real Christians share their faith. The Baptist. I mean, the Baptists are, they're convinced. And so when I came back to the Lord, my thought was, well, if I do this, I'm going to have to tell everybody, because that's what Christians do.
Amen.
I know I'm getting some big rejoicing from the back row. I am. I know who's back there. So I knew I was supposed to, but boy, how scary that was. No Christian gets an instant supernatural gift to lead others to Jesus. Nobody gets an instant confidence, I'm going to go lead people to the Lord. No, what you get is fear. You get fear and intimidation and trepidation and, oh, I got to talk about Jesus to somebody. What if they? And so you have to break through that. I had that. Everybody has that. I mean, there might be one or two exceptions here and there, but by and large, there is no gift to do it except the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's so that you can be a witness everywhere. So this is how you interpret Scripture. There is no gift of soul winning. People have mistaken the fact if someone leads another to Jesus, you're an evangelist. You might be an evangelist, but an evangelist has a different gift. An evangelist has this special call to preach to a crowd, to work miracles and signs and wonders. It's an office to edify the church as well. Evangelists edify the church. They have a special thing to take care of a crowd. But every Christian can be a soul winner. Some are better at it than others. Some gave themselves to it more than others. But every Christian can be a soul winner. But you got to believe the word enough to do it. Some people are, well, let's read this here. Some people, you know, have heard about the power of God, and so they're at the doorstep of, I want to heal somebody. They're at the doorstep of, I'm ready to cast out demons and heal the sick and get some things going here. Other people are going through that infatuation with revivals of the old day. It inspires you. It's like, wow, this stuff could really happen. And then some people are actually pressing in for revival now. Some people are saying, let's see it now. Other people are saying, I'm going to see it today. Everywhere I go, I'm seeing it today. Now, other people in church hear that and they're like, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm just trying to get my needs met. Everybody's different in church. Everybody's got something different going on. It's all for everybody. The Word of God is all there to take care of everything. You can have everything. He's given us freely all things richly to enjoy. Ephesians 1, we read this last Wednesday. Let's just read it again real quick. This is a prayer that Paul prayed. And it's in the Bible, so it's the Word of God, so we can actually pray it for ourselves. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. So I'm asking God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Did anybody pray this more than once this past week? From last week? Everybody was all inspired last week. Life-changing passage. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Some people, as this says, that I would know the hope of my calling, some people are in the place where you need to know your next step in life. You need to know your destiny. You need to know what you're called to do. At least for now, you're looking for an answer. Turn left or right? That door or this door? What do I do? Who am I? Finding and fulfilling the will of God, you need to know. And so the Word of God, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to read the Bible and let the Spirit leap when you find yourself there. Every one of us should find ourselves in the Bible. Every one of us can find something. I mean, as you read the Bible, you're going to see many things where you find yourself in the Scriptures. And then so some are looking for the will of God right now. They're in a moment of decision, or you know it's coming, and so you're just trying to make sure you're in the will of God. The Holy Spirit is necessary for you, but so is the Word. Some people say, oh no, I'm led by the Spirit. Well, the first leading of the Spirit is the Word. You understand that? Right. The first leading of the Spirit is the Word. Some people have tried to get so spiritual they've left the Word behind. And you can't do that. Matter of fact, Jesus said, my Word, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit. And they are life. So the words are actually Spirit. So don't try to discard the Word and be more spiritual. Some people have done that even with soul winning. I've talked to people about this, trying to encourage everybody to be fishers of men. And the response is, oh brother, I only speak to those that the Spirit leads me to. I only witness if I'm led. Sounds right, doesn't it? It almost sounds right. It ain't right. If that's you, I guarantee you hadn't led a soul to the Lord in years. If you're going to sit around in the restaurant and just wait, well, he didn't say nothing. You'll never lead anybody to the Lord. The first leading of the Spirit. I'm all for being led by the Spirit in everything, but you can't wait for the Spirit to tell you to brush your teeth. You can't wait for the Spirit to tell you you need a haircut. You can't wait for the Spirit to tell you to do things that the Word has already told you. I don't think there's a toothbrush in Scripture in there, but toothbrush in Scripture. Teeth brush in Scripture. Unless you're from the country. Toothbrush. That's fine if you got one tooth. Shine that baby. The first leading of the Holy Spirit concerning your witnessing is in the Bible. And Jesus said, before he went to heaven, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that doesn't will be damned or condemned." The word of the Holy Spirit inspired the Lord Jesus Christ to write that, and then inspired the writer to write it. So that is your first leading from the Holy Spirit himself. I mean, he wrote the whole Bible. He inspired the whole Bible. The Holy Spirit himself said, "Tell everybody." So don't be sitting around waiting for him to lead you particularly. You just go tell everybody. Turn your red light green and decide, "I'm just going to go." Because the Word says to be witnesses everywhere and preach the gospel to everybody. Everybody is going to have to hear it from me. Why wouldn't you determine that? As a Christian, why wouldn't you say, "Okay, everybody's going to have to hear it from me"? Jesus said, "Tell everybody." Why wouldn't you just simply say to yourself, "Okay, everybody's going to have to hear it from me"? If I preached it louder, would it get to you? Would it reach the back if I preached it louder? Why do people back away and say, "I decide that I will only do it if the Spirit tells me"? He just told you. Now, of course, to be even more effective, it's necessary to follow the Holy Spirit. He will tell you specific things about people. He will show you who's ripe for picking and when they're ripe for. So you can get more skillful as you're led by the Spirit. What happened is people mistook preaching to everybody as go make them get saved. No, our witness begins with telling everybody the truth. The Holy Spirit will show you who to reel in. So it doesn't change the fact that you're going to have to tell everybody. But who you spend time with trying to persuade them to get saved, that's a different story. Okay, well, there's a lot more to it, but let's not mistake being led by the Spirit by ignoring the Bible. It all begins with the Word of God. Even what we did Sunday after at the end of the service, it was using the Word of God in which is the Spirit. And as you do the natural thing with the natural printed words coming out of your mouth, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit takes form. All of a sudden the Holy Spirit takes hold and grabs it with you, and your Spirit and the Holy Spirit all of a sudden are holding the same word. But we weren't all led by the Spirit to do that, were we? No, we were told to. By the preacher. All right, Philippians 1. So some people are looking for the will of God. Here's another scripture. If you're looking for the will of God, the Word has your answer right here. Here's a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Philippi. You can pray it for yourself. Verse 9, Philippians 1, 9, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness." Notice he prayed that you would be sincere and without offense. So I said earlier that you should never be offended. But you could offend somebody. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 is just kind of part B is what I wanted to show you, but it says, Paul's writing this to the church at Colossae. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Colossians 4:12. Were we somewhere else? We were already popping firecrackers, I guess. Colossians 4:12, my mistake. Okay, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers. So that's why we do pray for people to grow up in Christ. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So that term there, you should, as a Christian, think, I want to stand complete in all the will of God. I don't want to miss anything. I want to be where God wants me. Stand complete in all the will of God. Say this 1,000 times to yourself. Pray this between you and God. Begin to trust that He would never let you miss it. If you're sincere, you see that word in here. If you're sincere, that He won't let you miss the will of God. That you will stand complete in the will. Build yourself into this. Let it build into you so that all of a sudden I'm confident I'm in the will of God. Sometimes Christians go years scared that they're missing God. That's not acceptable. Go touch the Word of God and know for sure. Pray enough in the Holy Spirit to know for sure and rejoice about it. All right, look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Another prayer. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, Paul says, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. There it is again. Filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So as we did on Sunday, we kind of did it Wednesday and Sunday. If you prayed this for yourself 10 times, what would it do to you? That I would walk worthy of the Lord. I want to be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. That would all of a sudden turn you from It would take you from a wimpy weekday to a strong day. Take you from a feeling like a spiritual weakling into strengthened with all might. You can try this on your spouse if they're having a down time. Say, okay, just listen to me for 30 minutes and just repeat this scripture over and over and over till they're blue. They'll be mad at you. They'll be mad at you. But man, I'll tell you what, the Word of God will penetrate more than you doing it to somebody else. Do it to yourself. Praise the Lord. All right. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Here at Houston Faith Church, nobody gets to complain about traffic. I have to repent. Last week I was not happy. Well, I'm supposed to be developed in patience, aren't you? I'm all distracted now. I'm having to repent. So I wanted to read the scripture, not so I had to repent, but I wanted to read it so that we could talk about this knowledge thing, because the knowledge refers to the Word of God, obviously. And so all of a sudden we recognize we have to know the Word, that we have to increase in knowledge, that we have to grow in the knowledge of God. And all of a sudden we realize it's not acceptable to just know a little bit. And that's why we kind of read the Bible a lot. That's why we teach the Bible a lot. That's why we have more than two scriptures and a song and a poem at the end. You know, we're just sincere about it. I mean, you could cover a lot. It's only been here for an hour and 15 minutes. We've covered a whole lot. I mean, the message hadn't been that long. We've covered a whole lot in a short amount of time. We need to. We need to learn quickly. The days are short here.
Amen.
You keep praying for him to come quickly. Well, that means you got to learn quickly.
That's right.
Hallelujah. If you can't grasp the word quickly, if you can't learn it pretty quickly, you won't be a powerful Christian. We're talking about sincere, powerful Christian living here. We're talking about Holy Spirit, supernatural, in the Spirit type of a life that helps you have a good life in spite of the world, that helps you live above and beyond in your own soul. You're a different type of a person. And you can't get it without grasping the Word, touching the Word, catching the Spirit of faith. So we're not here to just give head knowledge. We're here to catch the Spirit of faith that changes your attitude. Where all of a sudden all things are possible, and all of a sudden nothing shall by any means hurt me, and all of a sudden God would never discard me, and all of a sudden nothing can separate me from the love of God. Neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor principalities nor powers nor things to come or things to be, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. All of a sudden we get this wild look in our eyes like, there's no worries. We got that from the Australians. No worries. Isn't that right? I mean, not the Australian, but catch the spirit of faith. Catch the attitude of a person with God. When a person has God with them, there's no worries. The Word of God is the only thing that can give you that. Where your delight is in the fact that I got Him. I'm with Him. All of a sudden now your faith starts to work and miracles can happen. Once you decide to have that attitude, miracles can start happening. Before you decide that, it's very difficult. I just heard a comedian talk about, he's a Baptist comedian, but he understands Pentecostals a little bit. And so part of his humor was that. But he said, you know, we Baptists, we don't see anything. And so we have to just believe in God without, you Pentecostals see all sorts of stuff. You see miracles and healings and raising the dead and all this kind of stuff. And in the Baptist church, we see nothing. We expect nothing. We see nothing. God does nothing. That's what he said. And then, of course, at the end, he had to put a little hook in. He said, but Jesus said it's more blessed to believe without seeing. So we're more blessed, is what he said. But the Word is enough. You don't need to swing from chandeliers. The Word is enough. You don't need the best prophet in the whole land. The Word's enough. Sure, we need prophets. Sure, we need all the ministers. Sure, we need each other. The Word is enough. Sure, we need gifts of the Spirit, but really the Word is enough. If we could just stand more firmly on the Word, lots of stuff would happen in your life. Connect to it. Decide that it works. Make the final call that absolutely this is your answer. People say, I love God. When you say, I love God, I hope you mean I love His Word. I mean, you mean I love God too, the person, but because He is the Word, when you say, I love God, you better love His Word or you don't really love Him. When you say, I love Jesus, you love His Word. When you say, I'm believing God, what you mean is I'm believing His Word. When you say, I'm trusting Jesus, you're trusting His Word. His Word is everything. His Word is enough for the miracle. When you say you're hanging on to God, you're hanging on to His Word. Hallelujah. When you say, I need God, I need God to, I need His Word. You say, I obey God. Well, you're obeying His Word. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Word. Get to know Him. Connect to Him. Catch the spirit of the Word. Don't just remember stories, details. Don't just memorize. Catch the spirit of it. The spirit of it is what connects you to Him. The spirit of it is to say it because you believe it. The spirit of faith is that we have believed and therefore we speak. And that's what we did Sunday and people got healed. You need something in life? Find the Word, believe it, say it until it happens. I mean, get real serious about it. Get real active about it. Spit a little bit. Get some friends to do it with you. Yeah, get some friends to do it with you. So we're just going to say this out loud a whole bunch together. Well, that doesn't make any sense. I know. Foolish. God does foolish stuff to help spiritual things take place.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise God. I guess I'll end with that. Praise the Lord. We could apply it to provision. We could apply it to provision. Some people are in a place where you need your basic needs met. Financially, you're in a tight spot, empty spot. You need your basic needs met. What do you do? If you're in a tight spot and need your basic needs met, what do you do? Where do you go? What are you needing right now?
Right.
You need His Word.
Right.
Well, I already know the Bible. Well, let's do it then. So you say you know the Bible. Do you know what Matthew chapter 6 says? That's basic Christianity. Sermon on the Mount. First few things Jesus ever taught. Do you know those yet? I don't know. I think so. Is that the blessed beatitude things? Well, that's the same sermon. But Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 begins something very important for your basic necessities. That once you get it under your belt, once you get it in your heart, all of a sudden you never have another empty day. So you have to know. It has to ring true in you. Aha! And then you need to quote Matthew 6, 25 to 33 and say it out loud. Some of you may not be at that place. Some of you got your basic needs met. You're looking for increase. You're expecting some prosperity, some increase. And so you need some extra scriptures. My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory. The beloved, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health. You need to find some other things from God that helps you succeed and have victory. Amen? But it all begins with Matthew 6. Maybe we should do a... No, that's your homework assignment. Matthew 6, 25 through 33. 33 ends with seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things are added to you. But the other parts explain that because God is your Father, you will always have food. But I don't have food. Nah, you hadn't touched Him. There's something in your soul that hadn't touched Him. There's something about you touching the miracle worker that hasn't happened yet if you still don't have food on the table. Regardless of all the other things, there's something about you touching the Word
Amen.
That'll cause miracles.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatever the case, whatever you need in life, get to the Word, wrap up in it, say it till you believe it, come testify. I look back at the miracles that have happened in my life, and I think every single one of them had to do with me believing the Scripture and saying it out loud. There might have been a couple that just had that as the foundation. But it all starts with the Word of God. Oh, and it ends with the Word of God. And everything in between is the Word of God. How many of you love the Word of God? If you don't love the Word of God yet, oh, we're praying for you.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.